But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and embraced him and kissed him. But the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to make merry. In one of his books, the famous author, A.J. Cronin, tells about an experience he had with some close personal friends of his, a family from the Connecticut by the name of Adams. It was back during World War II, and Mrs. Adams was deeply concerned about the number of children over in Europe who had been left homeless because of the war, and she wanted to take in a refugee child. Her husband, Henry, wasn't all excited about the idea at first. After all, he said, we have three children of our own. We've got two girls and a boy. Why do we need any more? But because he loved his wife, and because he knew how much it would mean to her, he agreed. And Dr. Cronin said that he was with Henry Adams when they drove down into New York City to pick up the 10-year-old boy that had been assigned to them. He was as pale as a sheet, a gaunt, undernourished little fellow with big, dark, frightened eyes. He was from somewhere in Central Europe. Nobody exactly seemed to know where. Couldn't speak a word of English. His first name was Paul. And his last name was, well, no one could quite pronounce it, Pietro Stanalsi or something like that. And so they brought Paul to their home and he began to live with them. But it wasn't long before they were wondering if they hadn't made a big mistake. It seemed that the more English that Paul learned, the more he lied, the more he purposely tried to deceive people. He seemed to have no sense of personal property rights. He was caught stealing from the neighbors on a number of occasions. And whenever you tried to correct him, he would just stare away into the blank outer space as if you weren't even there. Mr. and Mrs. Adams did their best to get close to this little boy. They tried to be affectionate toward him. They wanted to treat him like one of their own children, but he always pulled back. It seemed that the only person in the family that he wanted to have anything to do with was their 7-year-old son, Sammy. And then one day, in direct violation of what Mr. Adams had told him to do, Paul went swimming in a stream that ran nearby their home. It was a highly polluted stream. And as a result, he came down with a deadly streptococcal infection. And it wasn't long before he was burning with fever. Paul's life literally hung in the balance for several days. The infection was contagious, and so they took Paul and they put him up in an attic bedroom to get him away from the rest of the family. And every night they could hear him tossing and turning and crying out in his sleep. And they wondered if he was going to make it or not. But finally, Paul's fever broke and he began to get better. And everyone breathed a great big sigh of relief. But then one morning, a couple of days later, Henry Adams went into Sammy's bedroom to wake him up and to call him to breakfast. And when he did, he almost gasped from the shock of what he saw. There was Paul. He had come down from the attic. He had climbed in bed with Sammy. And now there they were, the two boys sleeping together, and Paul was breathing right in Sammy's face. And as a result of his contact with Paul, Sammy caught that awful infection. And 4 days later, he was dead. Dr. Cronin was out in California when all this happened, and he said that when he received the letter from Henry Adams explaining to him what had happened, he was furious. He was angry, and immediately he dashed off a letter back to Henry Adams, urging him to get rid of Paul. "That boy is a menace," he said. "He's no good. You better get rid of him before he destroys your whole family." But 6 months later, when he was back east, Dr. Cronin went to visit the Adams one evening. And as he approached the house, he couldn't believe what he saw. Henry Adams was outside. He was working in his garden. Helping him was a small boy with a rake and a wheelbarrow. For an instant, Dr. Cronin said he thought he had seen a ghost. He had seen Henry and Sammy working in the garden so many times before. But then he realized it wasn't Sammy. It was Paul. "I don't believe it. I don't believe it," he said to Henry Adams when the two of the men could talk together. "I don't believe you still have him." "Yes," said Henry Adams quietly. "And you know, he's doing much better now. He's quieter now. He's calmed down a lot. The doctors are giving him some medication, and that's helping too." And there was a long silence as the two men stood watching the boy loading and unloading the wheelbarrow over on the other side of the garden. And then finally, A.J. Cronin, somewhat overcome by the bitter injustice of it all, said, "Well, all I can say is, he sure is lucky. He sure is lucky, this Paul Pietro, whatever his name is." "Oh," said Mr. Adams, "by the way, Dr. Cronin, you won't have to worry about how to pronounce his last name anymore. He's Paul Adams now. He's our son. We've adopted him." I don't know about you, but I love that story. I love that story because, like the story that Jesus told about a father and a lost son, it reminds me of how God, in His infinite, marvelous grace, has reached out to me. It reminds me of how God, in spite of all I am and all I have done, how God has loved me and forgiven me and given me a new name and adopted me into His family. This morning, I simply want to invite you to let yourself get caught up in the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. The wonder of God's grace that's been so lavishly bestowed and freely given to each one of us. And then in a few moments, as we respond by singing one of those great hymns about grace, I invite you to lift your voice. To lift your voice to Him and to praise Him and to worship Him and to thank Him. To thank Him for His grace. To praise Him for what He's done for you.